Hi, I'm Josh, and I'm trading in my Chevy for a Virta
Nice.
Lac.
Hey, I'm Matt, and a couple orders of business. Last week, I believe I said, "Hey, wasn't the Varkalak the same thing as Hellboy?" And it's like, "Yes, the Varkalak is from Hellboy, but this was the Vordalak, which is very different." And I decided that the true title of that movie should have been "Worst Toad in the Hole Served for Breakfast Ever."
That all checks out. Let's see. This is Charlie down in Austin. It's good, I guess, that they went with this kind of naming schemes of the alien movies with Romulus and Prometheus and whatever else. Because if it was the sort of like, if it was like Daryl and then my other brother Daryl, or like Ed and Eddie, then it just really wouldn't work nearly as well. Or I could do the Marx Brothers, but then the problem of it is that you get to Shemp and nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. I guess you have to do that as a prequel.
Although, let's be clear, all of us would go see Aliens, Ed, and Eddy.
But we are actually all Zeppo in this crew,
I'm more like
and this
Chico.
is partial hot dog. So first up, we have a short called Pink Eye or El Ojo Rosada, or Rosado, El Ojo Rosado. This is just about a lady who wakes up one morning with an eye infection and slowly lets it ruin her day while she kind of bounces around being the worst. This is a really good, gnarly eye effect for sure. Like lots of gross makeup things happening. I feel like this struck a very like dark humor tone and then tried to have a little bit of a like, but honestly, isn't it really important in the world today kind of ending? And like those two didn't quite match, but I enjoyed what they did with the rest of it.
Yeah, I definitely just kind of liked how they were just going for it with the grossness and the just over the top batshittedness of her refusal to accept reality and just, stay home or whatever. And like I liked that part of it. Yeah, it doesn't all hang together perfectly by the end, but it was just neat to see someone be like, "What should we do? Let's just do one really good gross ass thing and just kind of run it into the ground." And like, that's neat. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of mixed on this. I was like, that part of it, the idea of just fixating in on this thing that like many people experience, and of course, if you've had any children in your household, of course you've dealt with this, and it's sort of like, and but it was part of the thing that I struggled with was like it was just kind of like I wanted all the people to die. Like I didn't like the people. Like it was just
No,
like
mate, you wanted them all guests to die.
Yep. Don't go that way. That'll take you. No, but like it's just I think like, I could not. I didn't think the dude was just your awful douchey LA prick. And then like she was just like, I didn't like her. And I was like, where's the anchor to like connect us to humanity? And it was just like these two just shitty people.
I
And
think
that was my
weirdly,
problem.
we're maybe supposed to be rooting for the pink eye. It's like
Well, it is
come up
trying to
and
help her actualize herself, right? Like,
it's just like, oh, you're
she's
a shitty,
actually a life
awful.
coach.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of manifesting being done. But yeah, I don't know. It is weird in that regard. But yeah, because you do come off going, I hate this person. I kind of enjoy that she's suffering from this, which
Well, that
is.
was kind of yeah. That was sort of what was kind of mixed. I was like, yeah, but it's kind of fun to watch somebody just sort of like act like a goddamn 5-year-old about something that is just sort of like that just happens, and it's just sort of like. But then I was just like, but then they also both of them suck so bad. It's just like I don't know. So like, I kind of almost I wanted it to be more extreme in some capacity or other, like, or have more style. Like it was that one that we did a while back at Earworm. Like where that just had
Oh,
like
yeah.
just oodles of style to it, and so like I either wanted it to be like go grosser and bigger or just go more stylish, and instead it was just sort of like just two awful LA people who just fall in the ocean. So I was like, I'm calling a push. Like I was like mad. It was more just like, I don't like these people.
Which I think it you have to have a little disdain for the characters for the comedy of it to work. But, you know,
yeah, that's, you know, that's true.
When somebody does a really too good job of being a heel, that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Yeah, well shot. Very well put together. These are actors who I've seen in other things, which is always kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's the dude from like half of the Flanagan things. Yeah. He's very, very distinct face, for sure. Mm. Yeah, fun to watch. I would say a thumbs up on it, personally.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's worth a look. Your mileage may vary. Because, yeah, I think, like, I do kind of agree, I think, with Charlie that, like the Schadenfreude doesn't quite land maybe as hard as it could. Maybe because something's a little off there, but I don't know. I think the practical grossness of it and some of the escalating stupidity was enough to keep me invested.
Escalating stupidity.
You almost wish it would go full, like, 80s, 90s Peter Jackson.
Kinda, yeah. Like,
and just every scene more crud on it until it just has a little face.
That's sort of what I thought would happen. I really figured, like, eventually she'll just be this, like, shambling horror. But it doesn't quite go that far.
Well, it was like, and that's kind of where the humor comes in. It's like the denial of it. Because I just, like, I kept thinking when she's freaking out about the open house and freaking out about this and freaking out about this, like, if you go to any pharmacy,
right,
you can buy an eye patch and you get a little medicated pad thing and you put the medicine on it and then you put the eye patch on. There are people walking around every day that have eye patches on. It's not that big of a thing. Like, it's just, and if you're like, hey, what's going on with your eye patch? Then you're a dick.
Unless they have a parrot, in which case you know.
Yeah, but if you've got a peg leg and a parrot, that invites questions. Like, you know.
Part of a vast conspiracy.
So, sir, this is not a Red Lobster. But it's like.
I believe you mean Red Lobster.
Yes, that's a good place, the R. It's a long R. Boy, do you not know your homonyms? but it's just one of those things, like, just like, so there is some comedy there, because it's just like, come on, man, like, you know, what the hell? But then it was just sort of like, so it just need, I guess it just needed to be like, for her to be like nice and him to be shitty, or for her to be shitty and him to be nice, but for both of them just to be like the Kristen Wiig, Jason Sudeikis characters, the two douchebags by a Christmas tree, two douchebags, you know, do a nativity play. And so, like, they both suck. Like, oh, God. It's just like, so, like I said, I'm kind of more like push, but I mean, I've been mad at it necessarily.
So, push away. That's fine. Let's talk about Alien Romulus, or El Extraterrestre Romulus. Okay. Why not? Sorry, my daughter has been binging her way through Futurama.
Nice.
And yes, occasionally we will hit an episode where we're like, oh, no, we're not watching Beats of a Billion Backs because I don't.
Or the Love Bot one. Like, it's like, yeah.
That's just why I keep popping into Voidberg. Like, why not? Alien Romulus. Like, it's hard for me to talk about this now outside of just my reaction to other people's reviews of it. Because they're like, oh, it's just a retread and like just memberries, like remember this from all the other movies. And as you might have guessed from my derogatory tone, I don't love that criticism for this movie, because it has its own like cast and setting and story that's isolated from other things. And it, like, the things that people are complaining about to me are like evidence that this takes place in the same universe as the other movies.
Yeah, that seemed to be a very common tone of the criticism, was not being clear on what is a ripoff and what is a continuation of an in-universe story.
I don't understand that. I'm glad you brought that up, Joshua, because like, I don't get that at all, really. Like, how many James Bond movies are there?
Right.
And like, there's usually like some arms deal or a drug deal.
Yeah. And oh my God, I bet he'll order a martini. What a ripoff. Like, what?
It's just like if it exists in this thing, it's going to have things that relate to the thing. And oh, by the way, that's how science functions. Like, the idea that this creature, like, it's not like it's going to all of a sudden do the thing from Spaceballs and start doing a little song and dance. Like, it's just a certain way, for crying out loud. It's sort of, I'm right with you, Josh. I don't really understand that. It just, that seems like a very dumb criticism.
Yeah, it's that thing that is one of the stumbling blocks for a lot of, I think, nerd media and kind of genre media in general, where people are like, why don't we get all these movies? And why aren't these things that are supposed to be meant for us like more successful? And it's like, well, when they make a thing that sticks to the source material, you complain that it's a retread. And then when they change it, you complain that it's not the same. So you can't win.
And the good thing is always the last thing, like the previous.
Yeah, whenever the next Alien movie comes out, they'll talk about how this one was so much better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It drove me nuts hearing like the attempt to rehab Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, that was
because weird. That movie is fun to watch, but it is goofy as fuck. It's not scary. It's
It's not
odd to its good core, right?
Like, yeah.
It is fun to watch because it's got that weird jump Pierre Jeanneret energy.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's like, fuck off. Like, this thing, to me, had the elements that were in it from other movies were tying it to the universe and also kind of making sense of some of the nonsense that the series has gotten up to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we finally get to know what the black goo is from Prometheus. And we get to know, like, we actually learn about the connections between the human research and the alien research and, like, all the stuff that that Prometheus was just like, so who the fuck are the big dudes with the heads and the
Flavin?
Like, to me, I was like, this is one of the best alien movies, and it makes Prometheus make sense in retrospect, and for that I very much appreciate
it. That's some heavy lifting that got done there.
Well, and then on top of that, you know, like, you know, the on top of all that, like, you know, Fede Alvarez seemed to understand that, like, you have to make it, you know, for better or for worse. Some people really like Alien 3. Some people really don't like Alien 3. Some people like one of them. Like, different people come in different ways. But, like, you know, like it or hate it, like, Alien 3 did have a kind of a look to it. And, like, this one, you know, Fede Alvarez did a really good job of, like, giving this thing a very complete feel. Like, the ships and the port and this, like, everything has, like, it feels very connected and very, like, it's, I don't know, it's a very well realized creative thing. Like, it doesn't feel just sort of like, you know, space movie, the action, blah blah blah. Like, it has a real look and feel to the style of it. And I kept thinking of that adaptation they did of Ender's Game a few years back, where
Harrison Ford and
Asa Butterfield's in that one, and it's like, it's not terrible, but it just looks like, you know, they just kind of rooted around in the costume closet, rooted around in the prop closet, which I know is not true because Chris and I got to see them making the props for that, and up at Troublemaker. So, like, I know that's not true, but it just didn't have a look that had a, you know, I don't know, that felt creatively kind of unique in that sense. But boy, did he get the feel for this one down. Like, this has just an amazing feel start to finish. It just has a great look to it.
I wonder if this movie, for me at least, benefited from me not being heavily steeped in the last couple things like Prometheus, or, like, I'm not super familiar with the lore beyond the first two. Like, I've seen everything, but I certainly haven't gone back to, like, 3 or Resurrection or all that other stuff. So I was just kind of coming into this going, this all works on its own, and it lines up with what is to me the important shit, which is kind of the life cycle of the alien makes as much sense as it ever does. And they hit the high notes, and I was like, yeah, this works. It does that thing that I think Alvarez does well, which is kind of hit the ground running. Which also lets you know it's not going to go, more aliens than alien, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think as long as you pick a lane on that, then just either one is fine to pursue. But I just feel like, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're wrapping up.
I was just going to say, like, so maybe, like, the fact that I was sort of just looking at it as its own little like artifact, and was like, I had a good time watching this. And I feel like if you went and watched this and like couldn't kind of get over all the X, Y, or Z that you maybe had in your head that it should have been, then yeah, you kind of prevented yourself from enjoying what I think, if it was, you know, not called Alien, would just be a good movie. You know, I think you have to do work to talk yourself out of having a good time with that. And that seems weird to me.
Yeah, there are so many folks who seemed eager to do that work. I don't know. I was just kind of geeking out seeing the colony from Aliens pre-attack. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That kicks the world open a whole lot wider when you get to see some of these places that were just mausoleums in the other movies, right? Like, to me, that's not, hey, remember this? And, like, this is interesting. Like, an actual part of a prequel that is useful and meaningful. Like, that's super cool. And then just, you know, once they get up there, they've got... I squealed when I saw the Ian Holm, like, android. Because, of course, there would be multiple copies of the same android. Like, Weyland-Yutani's not going to make a new space for each one of these fuckers. Like, why would you do
right.
that?
Right, yeah, same rules as Terminator. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got... You got your Ian Holm model, your Lance Henriksen, your Winona Ryder, and you just, you know, your Michael Glass Fassbender, and you just take which one you want and slap a soul into it, and off you go. I really like that. I loved what they did with Andy as a malfunctioning android that kind of reads as an autistic kid. Like, that was neat. That was a good, mm-hmm. cool thing to do. And then just the last half of it is just him seeing how fucked he can make those characters and how they can possibly escape. And that's just, that never lets off the gas. So yeah, I had a bunch of it front to back.
So then the part that happened to be like, ooh, a little bit, the like most human looking version of the alien that shows up. Mm-hmm. That's like the kind of the big bad. I was looking at this and I was going, in my head, which is a sign of like this kind of pulling me out of the movie, in my head, I was looking at that and going, I wonder if they were happy with this or if they ran out of time / money and this is what they could do. Cause it just, it, for whatever reason, that just came off as like a little too kind of creaky and like it just seemed like the kind of thing that it's supposed to be big and scary, and it just looked like it'd be big and easy to push over, like a ladder that's got a rickety leg or something. Like, I didn't find the final big boss monster terribly menacing. Did that stick out at all, or was that just weird on that?
I found it unsettling looking, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't beat a good cloaca.
But why would you?
Yeah, we're beating a dead cloaca here.
Well, and what's interesting too is that, like, you know, they, there's another bit that seemed to be missed in the general public, was what I loved about the way they brought this around, Josh, is as you say, you can kind of reopen some of the stuff with the other ones in a way that's kind of new, is that, like, they're really saying a lot in this idea that, like, you know, go fuck around with nature all you want to, but just, you better understand that, like, nature's gonna do whatever the hell it feels like. And this, you know, the thing of like, oh, we can weaponize it, like, sure, best of luck to you. Or we can combine it with this and it'll do this other thing, like, sure, best of luck to you. And it's sort of like, and then you have that parallel with, like, the mining colony and, like, you know, and the diseases and the stuff and all the problems that it's causing. And it's sort of like, so there, it's like there's a lot of message there without it being like a big monologue about, like, you know, like, man's inhumanity to man thing and that whole, that kind of bit. Like, it's not that, but that's really what they're saying, is that, like, sometimes things are just better left alone. And if you just leave them the fuck alone, then you're probably better off. And it's sort of like, so I like that there was that underlying message in there, because ultimately Ian Holm, you know, that his version of the thing, and Fassbender's, and then the lovely and talented David Johnson, with this one, is like, at a certain point, and people talk about that right now with AI, where, like, at a certain point, if you give it the ability to keep teaching itself stuff at, you know, rapidly exponential rates, at a certain point, it's gonna understand the ways to perpetuate itself, and that the real wild card in the problem is biological things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like it's sort of inevitable. And so I kind of like how that's sort of this thing where it's like, oh, well, we've got this thing. We will control this. We'll control this. And we'll control this. Like, yeah, it's not really how that goes. And so it adds another air of menace to the whole thing, but not in like a, you know, things gone malfunctiony, like Chucky's kind of way, but it's more just kind of like a, it just adds a level of unease to it. Because that's another thing I've thought with this one too, is not only is it suspenseful and like what's going to happen with our people, but it's also sort of like at any given point, like you kind of have a threat from multiple angles. And then ultimately, like, are you rooting for the people to survive, or are you just, is the whole thing just kind of like see how this thing plays out? It's kind of like watching an old Tecmo Bowl on like NES, where it's sort of like, well, once you push start, you can't do anything about it. It's just going to kind of occur. Mm.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I guess that's an interesting way to look at that, because there's a certain amount of foregone conclusion with an alien film.
Like, yeah,
you're not going to like
one person to survive, right?
Yeah, well, and you know, you're not going to show up and they go, look at all these weird eggs. This is creepy. Let's get the fuck out. Like, that's, you're going to get to the point where you've got an alien running around, yeah. You know? So like, you're sort of kind on one level, you're just sort of waiting for it to get to that. And you hope that the way they do that is interesting, but then, yeah, like, are you, yeah, you kind of end up having to decide, am I rooting for the alien to show up, like, in, you know, like Jason in a Friday the 13th movie, or are these my little spacey Nightmare on Elm Street kids, and I'm hoping one of them survives? I don't know. And now that I think about it, I'm not even sure. I think I was more on the alien side on this one, because I did love swarms of facehuggers running around and being like, ooh, like, that's some good, like, creepy spookery that at least is, I think, different from the way those are used in all the other films, at least as far as I remember, which who knows what that means. But, well, that's usually it's a not the main threat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, usually it's like, a one-to-one. It's like it's like putting it together an IKEA piece of IKEA furniture. So like, you know, page one is this, page two is this, page three is this, and then you've got a four-blackle.
You need to get an extra Allen wrench. I'm building a xenomorph over here.
it's like
they name their couches the kookiest things.
And it's like, but that's kind of the way it was always been sort of done, where it's sort of like, you know, ultimately, you know, it's like when and you guys have this up there too, where sometimes the seasons were like, well, we're going to change the season, and nature goes, okay, season time, and then a couple weeks later it's like, no, it's back to being cold, and
you're, yeah, like, go back to one.
Yeah, it's just like, and then, you know, the plants are like, what the shit. And it's like, or the opposite way. And it's sort of like, and what's great about that is that ultimately, like, there's these dalliances that will kind of happen with, you know, like pollination and other kind of crap. And then it just, like, but nature kind of figures its shit out. And so I like the idea that ultimately, if it just sort of goes, well, I mean, you know, we expend a lot of energy and resources having a fuck ton of these things, but really, we just have to do the one. So, like, we're just going to kind of streamline the process. And that works out just fine. And it's like, so that all kind of jives back with the nature thing. Like, it just kind of, I don't know.
Might we suggest that nature finds a way?
I think that's true.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Spared no expense on that reference.
I'm just picturing, like, the dude from Weyland Yutani being some distant relative of his.
I feel like Weyland Yutani should be the name for when you do that big windmill move on a guitar. Mm.
But spell Weyland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
There you go.
So, I was thinking, yeah, that, like, I could talk about all of the cool scenes in this, but I think, you know, just maybe watch it.
If you, yeah, it's better to experience, I think.
Yeah. Just, yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I wanted to throw out there was my buddy Kelly, who's a big Alien fan. He and I were texting back and forth when this came out, and he was like, yeah, overall, he's like, yeah, I thought it was awesome. It was really great. Or else, he's like, well, what did you think about the thing with the zero gravity with like the acid and the stuff like that? And I was like, it's like, that's interesting, because like they do deal with gravity issues in the other ones, but they never really think about where the acid goes. And it's like,
yeah, I was actually pretty surprised by that, and then further surprised that it hadn't occurred to me before. Like, good job finding a new wrinkle.
That is just a such a cool freaking scene. Like, I didn't care at all if that's not what acid would do in space. I'm not Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, I'm not. It baffles me how the really, like, perpetually online super fan folks just ruin shit for themselves with this. Like, that scene is preposterous, and it is great. Like,
it's, on the super edge fun of to my watch.
Seat, like, gnawing on the back of it. It's tense. It's really cool looking. Yeah. The other thing is just people get so deep into the lore that they think that the lore is the entertaining part of the movie, right? Like, so they'll go, well, actually, in Alien Prometheus, if you watch the deleted scenes, he clearly explains that blah, 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 and that cross-references this thing in this novel that was based on the third one in the series. And just, like, just watch a movie. Just watch this one right now.
Yeah.
And just
enjoy it. I'm as guilty as anyone of crawling up my own ass about stuff where I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense. And it's like, yeah, whatever it is that makes a movie work on a level where you stop caring about that and can just get locked in. I thought this movie did all the right moves to just be able to show up and enjoy it. And normally, I guess I don't feel like we normally harp on people having the wrong opinion about things, but I think when we do, it's usually because everybody just decided to hate something for kind of spurious reasons. And that's kind of how I felt about this. Like, I was really surprised to see that the overall tide of the stuff I saw on the internet seemed to be in the, like, camp. And I just was like, that didn't reconcile with the movie I saw. I had a good time. It was so strange. So yeah, I guess it's just like bafflement that people couldn't have fun watching this really fun movie.
I would say it was more, I would trend more positive, I think, but there still is enough of that noise where you're just sort of like, at a certain point, like, one of my favorite 50s monster movies is Them. And it's like, but if, I also took a lot of science classes into college and have a lot of love and interest in biology. And you find out that, the rhinoceros beetle is the largest a bug can be, because when you have an exoskeleton, at a certain point, the gravity of the earth makes it so your guts won't stay where they're supposed to stay, and then you can't exist. I don't give a shit. It's giant ants, man. Like, yeah, it's cool.
It's like, what's and more it's like, fun to watch in a movie?
Yeah. So, it's like, at a certain point, like, for fuck's sake, it's sort of like, just let it go. Like, for all practical purposes, in Alien, the second one of the xenomorphs has like a head cold and then sneezes, it's going to disintegrate a ship, and it's never going to get off of wherever it's going, because it'll be a French impressionistic film of xenomorphs floating through space, not connected to anything. They can't, like, go anywhere, and they have no propulsion because they've just sort of acid sneezed them their way into oblivion. And that's what it'll be for an hour and 40 minutes. And it's just like, okay, cool. Or you can just make a movie, like Josh says. It's like, cry out loud.
So this is the moral is, listen to Josh.
Yes.
Always. And, like, I think more than anything, I just didn't feel like this had been, sanitized or toned down in a way that weirdly Evil Dead Rise felt safe in a weird way. Like, I walked out of there going, that did not kick my ass as hard as the Evil Dead reboot did.
Yes.
What was that? And this one did, because it had the gross giant wall vagina with the alien in it and the, like,
oh, you thought the wall of vagina was gross?
I suppose I'm not here to shame, but stuff like that, like having the X-ray one when the chest burster is coming, and
I thought that was neat.
The girl get her baby all muted up and explodey out of her body, and like, this does not hold back on the body horror. It's just like, instead of violation, more it's like birth. And what if your baby's ugly and has a cloaca?
Goddamn cloacas.
Cloaca me up before you grow up. That's sad. So this one, like, I I don't know. I think I just still know how to feel joy, and this gave me plenty of it. And I would say, like, it's a solid 8.5 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10 is badass crashing the space station into the rings of a planet and eating the damn. And yeah, it's a good movie. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar there. I'll say 8 out of 10. I think it does like have certain notes it has to hit in order to be an alien movie, and if that is something you don't want to see in an alien movie, I think you just don't really want to see a new alien movie. You just want to watch one of the old ones again.
Yeah,
and that's fine, you know, if that's what you want to do. But I think for being, you know, faithful to the source while still kind of expanding the universe or our understanding of it, and leaving me going, cool, I want to see what happens next, which is always nice, especially for a kind of weird quasi legacy sequel, you know, type thing. The idea of like catching that and still wanting more is pretty hard to do. Like I did not have that feeling after Beetlejuice. So this was pretty refreshing. So yeah, I had a good time, and I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Well, and also I do kind of come down just to the last thing I'll say about the some of the perpetually online thing is that like this movie was profitable, made money.
Yeah.
And so it's like it was a profitable thing. It is deeply uncomfortable in parts and kind of yucky, and so it's not exactly like a mainstream kind of a deal, and so it's sort of like, yeah. You know, so, but they were able to keep a reasonable budget. They didn't Green Lantern the fucking thing, and yeah. So like that's a really good thing, and they got some creative ideas in there, and then ultimately, like, you know, if you know when. I think about it in terms of like the Marvel stuff, where like, you know, when the first that Avengers movie came out, like that just. It was incredible. It was just breathtaking to just see this thing been wanting to see since I was a kid, realized like in the big screen and like in this amazing way. And it was like, oh my god, and like that's so fucking great. But then ultimately, as you kind of go along, you're gonna have missteps and other kind of stuff. But you can't keep making the same Avengers movie over and over again. You right. gotta do other kind of stuff. That's why the Hawkeye thing was so cool. Oh, that's yeah. why, you know, like the creative swings they took with Moon Knight and with WandaVision and stuff. Like they took these swings, these creative swings, and fucking Loki, which is just on another planet. So yeah. And it's like but it is the same thing, but it's like it's not they're just not making the same Avengers movie over again. And sometimes things might not be your flavor of floor wax, but like you gotta move it forward, otherwise there's kind of a perpetuality to it, and it's like that's not interesting or fun. And so to have someone like Fede Alvarez come in and bring in some chutzpah into the creative kind of juice of it is really admirable and great. And it's like I had a lot of the same feeling as I did walking out of Evil Dead, which was just like maybe not as fervent, because anybody says negatively about Evil Dead, like you just watch it wrong, like it's your fault. That movie fucking rules, like it's so goddamn good. And like at, you know, I don't know if this is of that level, but it's like it's still I walked out of this kind of just going like that was a really well realized creative bunch of ideas of like taking this source material and taking these ideas and taking this kind of evolution and it's kind of like doing a thing with it. And it's like, and I really really love that, much like Prey with Predator. Mm-hmm. You know, like Predator is always like, you know, I always said like Predator is like one of the things most dear to my heart, because one of the first like horror movies that I actually saw when I was down with my aunt and uncle. I used to go down there in July, like do 4th of July with them. And I think I was 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that ballpark. And my aunt called my mom to make sure it was okay to get her permission. Thankfully, she got my mom, not my dad. So my mom was like, yeah, you let him do it. Because my mom has a soft spot for like Twilight Zone and Dark Shadows and stuff like that. And my dad has no patience for it. So she got my dad, she got my mom, thankfully. And so I got to watch Predator when I was like, there. And it's like, which is, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so dear to me. Mm-hmm. And so then when you see something like Prey, you go like, Prey is not like the original Predator movie, but God damn, is it great. Yeah. And it's like, so you take somebody who's got some fucking balls and just bring something to it. And the last point I'll make on this is that, you know, if you guys don't know much about this part of it, good, because it's worthless brain wasting space. But the guy who created True Detective is for all intent and purpose, kind of a prick and kind of an asshole, sort of sexist, sort of unpleasant, sort of shitty dude. And so when they got to this most recent season of True Detective, it's our buddy Issa Lopez, who did Tigers Are Not Afraid, and it's Jodie Foster, and it's indigenous folks, and this whole deal. And it's and then as it was super well received, this guy was throwing rocks from the outside. It's not this, and blah, 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 blah. And it's sort of like, at a certain point, man, you can't make the same slasher movie over again. You can't make the same 80s slasher movie that's like sexist and shitty. You got to do something with it. Like, take the lessons, move on. And like True Detective now is a cooler shaped thing. I love the first season that he did, but there's an evolution there that occurs. So ultimately you have to kind of let go of those things and let creative people do creative things with them. And so it's sort of like, as I've gotten older, it doesn't make me mad so much. It kind of just makes me kind of like, not pitying. I mean, that's not really the right word I'm looking for, but it just kind of bums me out because it's just sort of like, it's like you can see what creative things. Fucking Lower Decks, Josh, you'd love that show. Like,
yeah.
Does a purist Roddenberry head kind of a person, do they allow Lower Decks to occur? You know, and it's like, but did somebody take something and bring some good creative juice and some original ideas to it, Pete's sake? Like,
yeah, Lower Decks was the first Star Trek thing I got excited about in quite a while.
And it's like, that tells you something. Like, it's exactly. Like, it's like, what can you do with a thing to move it and do and evolve it and change it and add something to it? And so it's sort of like, this kind of thing makes me happy. And that is the default correct position to have, is happy.
Mm-hmm. Just ask Pharrell Williams.
So I will say yes. Which, by the way, you guys know that they have a full length Lego movie about his life coming out next month.
I am so excited to see that. Yeah,
it looks so neat. It looks so cool. But for this one, slightly different subject. I'm gonna be up with Josh. I'm gonna say 8.5. Like, there's just a couple areas that I think could have been either expanded out a little bit or tightened up a little bit, but by and large, I was tickled by this. I thought this was a fun, kind of exciting, dark, and just, you know, at times pretty vicious little kind of a treatise on the respect or lack of respect that you have for the natural world. And it's done really, really well. And I know I've said it 5,000 times, but if you enjoyed the young man David Johnson in this, go on to Hulu. My favorite movie of 2023 was a movie called Rye Lane that he's in, and it's just a glorious affirmation of life, and it's wonderful, and he's so goddamn great in it. But for this one, yeah, 8.5 out of 10, 8.5 out of 10, some exclusions apply. You didn't bring the coupon. The coupon expired. I'll have to talk to my manager. It's Tuesday. That's available on Monday, so you're going to have to work in the mines longer. Mm. It was like the most middle management shit.
Sorry, Tennessee.
It's like, god damn. It's like, bureaucracy. Those, like, the poetry writing guys from Hitchhiker's Guide.
The Vogans?
The Vogans, yeah. That's just like, this lady's after the Vogan heart. It's like,
the fact that I had bureaucracy. Vogans locked and loaded in the chamber means I probably just regrew my hymen. I think this is not good.
No, it's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. Not the hymen bit, the recalling bit. That's the, I don't know where you even put a hymen.
Yeah, hymen's been removed.
Above the lumen.
I didn't get to Scotland before Eve.
And if it's your favorite one, it's your low main.
You're low key on that.
Yeah.
All right, let's, man, we gotta stop. Let's stop for a moment. We'll come back and Vortilac the night away. So one of Fred's favorite songs at the moment is Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Which it should be.
Excellent choice, George Michael, you know. But because of that, every time I thought of this movie this week, I went, Vortilac. Vortilac. Anyway, the Vortilac, El Vortilac, if you will, is a highly stylized, excruciatingly French film. It seems to be shot in a homage to like 60s Hammer horror, maybe, like marked by a very flat depth of field, where everything looks like it's on the same plane, almost like weirdly, you know, like a guy standing 50 feet from a tree, and yet somehow the tree still looks like it's directly behind him. I don't know if you noticed that at all, like the weird.
Well, they shot this on 16. They shot this on 16mm.
Really?
Yeah, Ted, our buddy Ted, who did We Are Still Here and Brooklyn 45, 49, I always get that title wrong. Lovely, lovely human being, Ted. He was one of the promoting people for the he was one of the one PR for this deal. Like they were promoting this one. But this was I have the packet somewhere in my email. I don't know what the fuck it is. But they really old schooled this. So this did feel like a did very much feel like that kind of Hammer horror kind of textural thing, which I think kind of benefits it, because I think if you don't have that, then it starts to look like a bunch of idiots in the forest kind of problem. So I liked that it added that kind of texture to it. It reminded me of many years ago they did a bunch of the kind of British horror series at Alamo, and that's where they did like Devil Rides Out, which is just so much fun, and they did the Witchfinder General, and but they did like there's ones like The Shout, which is like super obscure, and it's like it looked like it could have been shot the same week as this, except for this is new, and The Shout was like the early 70s, and so it's kind of like it has the same feel to it, that very textural feel. So I think it was like, I thought it was kind of a smart choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that it looks is very distinct, for sure. And I always take something that's going to try for recreating an era as long as like there's a reason to, you know, like a point to it. The like the colors are very saturated, and that's cool to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like once you get past how unusual looking it is, it for a vast majority of its runtime is just so fucking French. It is all like you walk up to her and you light a cigarette and you say, ah, c'est la guerre. And she goes, oui, c'est la guerre. And you go, ah, fromage compagne. And she's like, ah, fromage compagne. You know, it is kind of like Ingmar Bergman is just kind of standing there going, could you fucking pick it up a little bit?
And see, that all worked for me, I think. And that's maybe because, I guess he's our protagonist, despite, I was watching this, and I couldn't get a read on our little Ponzi git in the wig. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, he is just a boner at the blackboard. He is awkward as fuck. Like, he can't figure out how to human around these people, and everything he tries is just increasingly insufferably stupid.
And for a while at the beginning, when he meets the people, like he acts so strangely upon seeing them and they him, and the setup where he goes like and asks the dude for help, and he's like, no, you want to go like over there and talk to Gavroche
or Gaston or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought maybe they were meant to be supernatural creatures, like not knowing anything about this movie, brother and sister. I was like, so we are in like Baba Yaga fairy tale land, right? And he's surprised to encounter these people because they're not people, they're fae, right?
Right.
And so when they were just people, that was a little confusing. And then it took a while when Vortilak shows up and it's the puppet to go, ooh, I really appreciate the puppetry, instead of like, okay, but clearly we can see that he's not well. I was having trouble just getting drawn into that bit.
I think, because I was so complete. I don't know if you guys had already known that the Vortilak would be a puppet. I did not.
No.
And so then that shows up and it went, oh, well, this is my new favorite movie. Like, it's just like my first that thought.
20 minutes would be a favorite movie of mine.
Like, sure. Yeah, I was just like, oh shit, like that's a big puppet. And I love the voice performance for that. Like the fact that it is sometimes so completely a puppet. you know, in a manner of being just like not articulated in, you know, ways that you would expect someone would do on a modern movie. And that honestly made it even cooler. And I'm watching this going, this could just have been a play at the Twin Cities Horror Festival with two people in, like, you know, theater black, you know, working this 6 foot tall puppet, you know, and just have a dim, you know, theater, and you could just have them walking around interacting with the other actors. And I was like, God, wouldn't that fucking rule? And I just kind of kept loving that this was so kind of community theater writ large in a way that made it just feel very cozy to my perhaps addled brain. But it was just like, what the fuck? What a hard left. And I loved that. I thought that was so cool.
Well, one of the things, and I don't want to, certainly don't want to put words in Josh's mouth, but like one of the things that did stand out to me with this, in, you know, positive or negative kind of way, is that it did feel like three separate miniature movies, where like the first 30 minutes is very much like a kind of a gauzy French ennui riddled sort of thing. And like that's the first 30 minutes. And then the middle 30 minutes is just like this bonky kind of nutty Hammer thing that just was like, and then we're going to add this, and we're going to add this, and then we're going to add this, and this other thing's going to happen. And you're like, what is happening? Like, what the hell is happening with this? And then the last 30 minutes becomes this like treatise on like mortality and sort of like the humanity's reflection in and of itself. And you're just like, what the hell? So like that was the one thing that kind of with the pacing of everything was that like, it did feel like three separate movies and tucked in together. And, you know, I enjoyed this pretty well. I was amazed to find out that it was only an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... That statement makes me think of the movie Liar Liar, and when they say wait 150, and he goes, yeah, in your bra. Yeah. An hour and a half, yeah, like maybe in the first act. I agree though, that last half hour when you've got people getting Vortilac left and right, and the guy finding out all of the weird things about them, like they have to chew on a shroud and they feed on their loved ones, and all of that Hellboy shit is great.
Yeah.
I mean, but it just took so long to get there. And I was just kind of sitting there confused and like, I don't know any of these people really. I don't like any of these people. I can't figure what each one's deal is, and individually or collectively. And what's a Vortilac? And what's it like, if I don't know what a Vortilac is, I'm going to watch this whole movie and I'm still not going to be able to tell you.
Well, I mean, they give it, it's like two or three characteristics. And like, I was very,
by the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? And like, but I feel like they give you its little quirks. And I think for maybe half the movie, I was trying to like hammer the square Vortilac peg into the round vampire hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just not. And it's not trying to be. And it is like it's its own different sort of folklore entity. You know, it's maybe it's like closer to like a revenant or something, but you know, it's all silly hair splitting. And like so it was just, oh, and when I stopped kind of trying to figure it out and realized I should just let it tell me what it is, it was fine. You know, it's like, okay, I guess I'll know as much as I need to. And by the end, it was like, well, it's going to start by feeding on loved ones, and you can kind of hear it coming when you hear the little slurp slurp of it sucking on its thing because it drools uncontrollably. I'm like, cool. That gives you your like sound to hear in the night, you know, and it gives you your who's in greatest danger moment of dread when you realize you might be next. And like, that's enough. That's, you know, it's no less than you get for I kill kids at camps that try to fuck. Like, that works. So... yeah, I think just accepting it on its own terms, plus, you know, being a complete mark for the puppet, was enough to make me really enjoy this.
Right.
Well, and I almost wonder, too, like, I understood I may be wrong about this, but I thought it was, this is based on like a very old kind of folklore, regional folklore thing. Like, is that right?
Like a novel, yeah.
Like it's based on some, yeah, and it's like some kind of a old school folklore thing. And out of the three of us, I mean, I would say Matt is probably the most folklore-y kind of a dialed in person. Even you know, but we, you know, all of all the Hellboy stuff and all the weird.
Thus, my shame for mistaking it for the Vardalak. Yes.
Or the Vardalak. You're racist, but yeah. But you know, and I think any of us would attest that, you know, certainly that like part of the thing with, you know, with like with Edgar Allan Poe or with Grimm's or even some of the just the really old school old god pagany kind of shit is that by and large on the page it's like short and sort of weird and off-putting and kind of intriguing and
nonsensical.
And nonsensical. It doesn't really yeah. go anywhere. But the problem is you go like, God, that would really make an amazing thing to look at and whatever. But then they're taking it into the on the screen, it's just really tricky. Because like you can kind of get those gaps where if you're not as dialed in or not feeling it in that same way, you just kind of like it feels a lot more like work. Where And it's just that's the way that source material kind of works. Like they learned this lesson with the David Harbour Hellboy, where they're like, "What if we take 9 different crazy things from different Hellboy lore of all Mignola's, you know, crazy research, and what if we put them all in together?" And it's like, on paper, that's a good idea, but in practice, it's exhausting, and it doesn't really work because at a certain point, you want something to. Have a resolution, and folklore doesn't really have a resolution necessarily.
Well, and that's, you know, not to keep tugging on Mike Mignola's dick, but that is part of why Hellboy is effective in the way it is that you get these relatively short stories based on an element of folklore from some region that shows up, is allowed to display what makes it cool, and then is given resolution by adding this character of Hellboy to put a stop to it, which creates an actual narrative. Whereas, yeah, if you go back and read a lot of Grimm's fairy tales or all these folklore things that are eventually written down, were largely oral and vary from, you know, city to city, much less country to country. Like they don't hold together very well, aside from being just enough to scare a kid because they're too stupid to have realistic expectations of things. And so like having a narrative imposed on top of the folklore makes it more digestible. And this doesn't do that. This, I think, hews more closely to the actual folklore of just sort of being a thing like a tepid bath that you sort of slide into and feel a little uncomfortable with and want to get away from. And that's kind of all most folklore stories really add up to. Like, you know, later things like Dracula and Frankenstein are much more modern and polished than a lot of the source material that they're based on. And so it's a weird viewing experience compared to like what we're expecting from modern narrative and film. Mm-hmm. But that, I think that makes it so, yeah, you might end up with like either this kind of catches you in like a weird, hard to define way, or it sort of doesn't work in sort of a weird, hard to define way maybe. And you know, neither one's really wrong. It's just more fun if you happen to like it, but you know, your mileage may vary.
I did enjoy, I think the part that began my just deep perplexment after the whole beginning where I just wasn't sure who these people were or what they were was Dad's thing about, I'm going to war. If I don't return within 6 days, I'm dead. If I return after 6 days, I'm a Vordalak and you should kill me. And then he shows up on like 11:59 of day 6. But I was still going, okay, wait. So if he comes back in days 1 through 5.5, then he's a person.
Right.
If he doesn't come back at all, then he's dead. And I just, I, for some reason, those three things just did not drive with me. I couldn't figure them out.
Well, because they are nonsensical. Yeah.
They're like everything related to the actual Vordalak in this, I do really enjoy. So, like, I shouldn't be as hard on it as I was, but man, I had trouble getting through that first.
Yeah. I don't see this kind of taking the world by storm. I'll fully admit to that.
It's niche.
Yeah. Or le niche.
Say it, she. Stiff. Oh, I fucking hated the score of this so much that I made a note of it, which I never really notice a score unless it's really good or really bad. This is just like a 8-year-old having a harpsichord lesson for the entire fucking movie, and nope.
It was definitely a choice, that's for sure.
Ooh, that's the most Midwestern way to describe that.
I mean, so is like eating moldy tuna, but I don't recommend it. Charlie, you should get closer to the mic again.
Oh, I don't. Sorry. There we go.
Drifting away.
Yeah, it's, in my brain, you're drifting to sleep so gently as you get quieter.
Oh, no, that's why I just did it on the mic in the right spot. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like as much as I love this, I don't have a ton to say about it because to me, it's you just sort of watch it and you'll know pretty quick if it's for you or not. I think you should, to give it a fair shake, like watch at least until you get to see the puppetry. And if that is like a deal breaker for you, then yeah, you can stop because it's just going to be more of that, you know? So, but if it sounds at all interesting, I'd say check it out because it's, you know, if you start watching it and you dig it, then great. You're just going to get that and nothing more. Like it's very much what it says on the tin. It's a movie and there's a Vordalak.
Do you like French bops? If you're a French bop fan, this is the movie for you. You're going to get more French bop than you can fling a falafel at.
I did find it amusing that like all the stuff I saw about it after I was kind of looking around online after watching it, everything's like, well, much like Brotherhood of the Wolf, I'm like, this is okay. So they wear the wigs. Like other than that, this is nothing like that. Like this is someone that has just not seen enough movies to be able to draw a very interesting comparison.
Like, we're French people.
Yeah, like, okay. I can't disagree that they're French. But that's hardly the most important part.
Okay, no. Mais oui. Oui, mais. Always like to see somebody take a big swing and not connect for me then to be boring. But this one did both of those things. So I would say like a 3.5 out of 10. Just sucking on my rag. With my mind on my money and my own.
There you go. Clearly I was a big fan. I could not wait to like excitedly talk about this movie to the roommates, which was half effective. I think Carr might give this a shot because he was also intrigued by the puppetry aspect. Mo, as usual, just kind of looks at me like I'm an idiot and wanders off. So we'll see. Maybe I got one convert. But yeah, I enjoy this a great deal. It is just so beautifully weird, and that is always kind of interesting to me. So I'll go like, yeah, 9 out of 10, man. This rules. Not for everyone, but maybe it's for you. So give it a shot.
Yeah, I definitely think this is certainly in a sincere way is in that category of like it may not be your flavor of floor wax, but I think once you can get past the first 30 minutes, like that's the one kind of big hurdle, and then it kind of gets progressively stranger and adds some more to the thing. So yeah, I want to be kind of in the middle of the pack. Like I want to say probably like I want to go like a good hearty 7 out of 10. It had a lot that I liked in it, and like I said, once you can kind of get past that first 30 minutes, I think it had a lot to offer. So yeah, it's certainly had a lot I thought was creatively interesting, the way it was filmed. Score, maybe not so much. And then also, since we're talking about Mignola, I always bring up documentaries all the time. If you've not seen the documentary about Mike Mignola, Drawing Monsters, came out a couple years ago. It's available on all the different platforms. It's
it's like widely
really available. Good. It's really good. I think I was doing Chattanooga or Panic or one of those. Mm-hmm. It was really, I mean, it's talking about being an easy mark. Like it just, but it's really neat. And talks about his process and his affection for you know, folklore and his research and just sort of how he is as a kind of a person. And so yeah, go seek that out too, because it's a really lovely, if you like anything that Megwin Wall has ever touched, then it'll be right up your alley. But yeah, for this one, I'll say it's a good hearty 7 out of 10. May we may.
Oui, oui.
The lion sleeps tonight. Next up, we have The Dancing Village, The Curse Begins, or El Pueblo de Baila, La Maldición Comienza.
Mm.
So this is like, I don't know, man, like this is one of those things that looks like 1,000 gazillion billion bucks.
Yeah, it does.
But like has just like, it's not even like that like French-Belgian thing where they're like, we will do without story or direction. Like, it has a plot, but it's like, it's got so much of a fucking who gives a shit kind of a plot. Like, it just sort of, it was just maddening given like how gorgeous the damn thing is. But it just sort of was like, this is really the plot we're going, all right, well, maybe it'll get like more interesting.
A village that's under the control of some kind of entity, right, who demands a sacrifice of young dancers every X years. And one of the manifestations, one of the villagers finally has it with it and steals one of its bracelets, which renders it less powerful, and then like gives it to her daughter to escape the village, and then daughter returns to the village. And very slow things ensue. I mean, maybe it's just that after the Indonesian horror that we've been watching,
mm-hmm.
this just seems so tame and slow.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's perfectly said, Joshua. That's exactly like, what it is.
This looks like Queen of Black Magic, right? Or the Satan Slaves, you know, one of those. Like, it has that same look and feel to it, except it doesn't have any of the grit or the suspense or the just meanness, I guess. And it just kind of ambles along and then kind of ends on a shrug.
Yeah, that's really my feeling, too.
One thing's for sure, we shouldn't let this happen again.
Said the prequel movie.
Yes.
This is one that, like, I feel like, as we sometimes run into with films that are based on cultures outside of the United States, like, there's probably cultural context here that, like, we're just not familiar with. And maybe that makes these things carry more weight than they seem to from watching this. Mm-hmm. I was, like, for instance, like, I was immediately just based on the title, like, oh, okay, it's like the kind of recurring theme of like the sort of like dance mania that mm-hmm. shows up in villages where people just are unable to stop dancing until they like collapse and shit. And I was like, okay, cool. We haven't seen that in a while. And so I kind of thought I was going to just see how they portrayed that. And that kind of had me beating my head against a wall for a while until I kind of realized that they had sort of like the, because while the dancing is part of the whole thing that the entity requires, isn't the dancing also working as a way to keep it at bay by offering it? You know what I mean? Like, it's the dancing itself is like not the curse. The problem is this thing. Yeah. And so the dance is kind of part of the defense against the curse, though it does require a sacrifice of some type. And yeah, so like, kind of figuring out who was
right by.
Yeah, like it was like trying to figure out who was the fly and who was the spider in some of the scenes. And then eventually I felt like that got clearer. The fact that it was really good to look at was helpful, because I did just kind of enjoy like watching this unfold, even when not a ton was happening of direct interest. I was still just kind of enjoying being in that environment and kind of getting a look at the world of this film. I think as I texted maybe in the group thing, like, this does kind of make me want to watch whatever the main film that this is a prequel to is, and see if, because you're not trying to perhaps do a lot of kind of you know, dull world building, since you already hit what would theoretically have been the point of highest action, what would have been the first film. That's usually how people write stuff, mm-hmm. unless you're George Lucas and claim he planned it to be six movies all the time. But the, you know what I mean? So like, odds are, like, whatever this is a prequel to is something that is going to kind of start, give us a character to sympathize with, and then kind of hit the whatever. And I kind of want to see how that plays out. So I don't know. I may try to dig that up and watch it. And not that we'd necessarily do it for the show, but if I do get a chance to watch that, I'll try to remember to report back and just kind of go, oh, okay, this works better or worse based on that. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's like, I don't really disagree with anything y'all said. I think I was just kind of a little more okay with it sort of being kind of middling, and but it being like not bad, and I wasn't bored. I was just sort of some combination of like bemused and confused. So I don't know. There's maybe a word for that that I'm not aware of. But.
Well, and it kind of has that. That is sort of the thing. Like, it's just a, because there's not that kind of thing. Like, yeah, we mentioned like Satan's slaves and some of the other kind of Joko Anwar kind of thing, where you just like everything is just intense, or you kind of go, you know, away from South Asia and you go up the direction you kind of get, you know, you go towards, you know, like Basque sort of realm, like up into Turkey, and you're like, well, this is on a different level. Like, you know, it's like, this is not that type of a thing, which is kind of maybe why some of the stuff with the plotting kind of made me a little nutty, because it was like, this looks really great. Like, it really has a beautiful look to it, and it's not over-edited, like, it's not choppy or stylized in that way, you know, and so mm-hmm. It just has a remarkable, interesting look to it. It's just sort of, the plotting part of it was just sort of like a, well, we have to do this thing, and everybody does the little, like, musical chairs bit until somebody is like, yep, you're the one, like, really? Like, yep, you're it. Like, ah, oh, crap. And it's sort of like, and then now we go into
weird hell, whatever.
Yeah, and it's like, and so that sort of, so they present all this data to us, and you go like, okay, so then how does one defeat the beastie? And it's like, well, I mean, you can kind of inconvenience it, right, and then you can kind of like keep it at bay, and it's going to be irritated. And it's like, all right, well, to what end? Like, well, I mean, there's not really like an end in the traditional sense.
Right. Like,
well, what about people being in danger? Like, well, it's kind of at random. Like,
I couldn't tell, having watched the whole thing, if all of the dancers are usually chosen, or all of the dancers are sometimes chosen, or he picks his favorite one, because it seems to change kind of on the regular. Like, I gather that the first one, where they stole the bangle and the lady left, pissed off the entity so much that it just slaughtered all the dancers, right?
Yeah.
But then it was weird that wasn't what was at stake this time, and I don't know. I had trouble following the logic of this creature.
Well, that was the thing. Yeah, that was the part that it seemed more administrative, that it was sort of like, well, what am I missing here in terms of like the, like, what's the bigger threat? And it's like, it doesn't seem like it really knows either. Like, it kind of goes like, oh, well, we could, what if it did this? Like, is she the chosen one? Like, well, it's kind of a multi-round selection process. Like, well, mm-hmm. All right. So just, that was kind of more what it was. It was
the fourth interview. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it just, that was the middling. That was more what I meant, but it was more what I mean, like, the plotting of it being the kind of that middling thing. It's sort of like, it never really seems to get out of second gear, even though it is just truly lovely to look at and interesting in that respect. There's never really that level of threat or just darkness where, you know, like a original Japanese, like a, you know, like a Grudge or like a Baskin, where you're just sort of like, and now we are in the fifth circle of hell, and it's sort mm-hmm. of like, and it doesn't really go for that, or it doesn't really feel like one of those, like I said, Joko Anwar kind of ones where it's very parable-ish. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of those things where it has a lot of positives, but it's just sort of, it's just a shitty way to say it. It feels inconsequential in that respect, which I know is not very fair, but it's just sort of kind of the way it feels like.
You know, like that's the problem with a muddled state, right? You don't know. It's hard to feel excited or invested in the outcome if you don't know what the rules of the game are.
Yeah.
So this was the cricket of movies for a bit. Well, was that a wicked googly? Is that what a wicked googly? Was that the wicked googly? That's the wicked googly. Okay, good. I'm still just thinking over trying like who we've got in this movie and what they're doing, and I don't know, they come to the town, everyone hates them, and they have to sleep outside, except for the one lady who just comes into the other house and is like, I live here now.
Right.
Like, okay, I will be part of your plot now. And they just kind of proceed apace, I guess. I was like gently baffled by this. It's folk horror, but it's way more folk than horror, I suppose. So as like a, if we could do like a 45-minute section of Kwaidan that is this, that is maybe where that story I live, because it doesn't have the, it just doesn't have any bite to it. Yeah. So given the lateness of the hour, I would say for this one, it's like a 4.5 out of 10. Like it's got a lot going for it, but not enough.
That's more generous than I expected you to do on that. Because despite, I think, maybe enjoying it more, like, I still thought it was, like, fair to give this, like, a 5. It's because it does have sort of a... It made sense to me to, like, figure out, you know, afterwards, like, oh, this is a prequel to something. And that sort of explains some of it feeling kind of like a holding pattern. Mm-hmm. Where we know we have to end at X, but we also have to make this feature length long, you know? And that's why you maybe have that extended kind of awkwardness with like going to the village and at the same time, like those scenes, like I was just sort of fascinated by like the incredibly formal way everybody talked to each other and just being like, wow, I am so totally unfamiliar with this to know if the way they're speaking with this, like, at least the way it came across in like the subs, like, is this meant to convey something about status from A to B, or the level of imposition this is, or how far out of the norm, all like, should I be getting intimations based on those interactions that I would understand culturally if this was like what I was used to, in the same way that when the harbinger at the gas station says, you don't want to go up that road, like maybe this is actually much more like insidious and compelling if you get the kind of undercurrents that are at play there. And so I guess made like a little game for myself of going, what do you think that means? What would that be trying to say? Is it saying more than it is, or am I just reading too much into it? And that kept my mind occupied while I watched this pretty well. So I had a good time, but at the same time, like it doesn't play as well as, it could have, at least to my sensibilities, but that's, you know, I was probably not the target market, but I don't know. I'm glad I saw it. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, somehow or other, I guess I'll be the high man on the totem pole. I mean, I would say probably like, you know, like 5.5. Like, I think it has enough, you know, just good creative juice in it. Just sort of has a kind of a disconnected, sort of very A to B kind of pedestrian sort of way at which the plot sort of does its thing. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know. It's just sort of, but it does look like, it looks like $1 million. It has a beautiful look to it, but it's just sort of, I wanted more evil witchery, and I wanted like bigger kind of stakes in a way that's like tangible. And it just kind of bebops along its way. And so, you know, yeah, I don't know in relation to its next one, like how that will work. I don't know, but so as it stands, I mean, it has enough creative juju to kind of, you know, I'd say 5.5 out of 10, 5.5 out of 10. I had something with the Bengal and the Bengals and Susanna Hoff, but I got nothing. So I'm going to say 5.5 out of 10, 5 out of 10. But it is, at least it's pretty.
Lisa, pray. We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about some things we're going to watch next time. Right. Coming up next week, we want to sample some of the goodnesses that are coming out onto Shudder, and I believe they're all Shudder. We've got Demon Disorders, In a Violent Nature just dropped. That's one that was slightly polarizing, but good response, so I'd be interested in that. And Oddity, which was billed to me as the movie that Longlegs should have been. So I'm very interested to see that, being not a Longlegs lover. Also, because we are really excited to see it, we're going to probably all of us independently watch The Substance. So if we all happen to watch it and are able to talk about it, then we will. And if we don't, then we won't. That's kind of how it goes. So Demon Disorders, In a Violent Nature, Oddity, and Substance, if you want extra credit. And I will point out that I've been Josh this entire time and say bye.
The day we're recording this is the day Agatha All Along drops, like the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. And I just rewatched WandaVision, which if you haven't watched that, folks, that's a treat. And so I've only watched the first episode of Agatha All Along. And if nothing else, it's a really good proof of concept of Catherine Hahn rules. Like, God damn, she's good. And it was just really cool to watch her do what she does in this first episode. I'm not going to talk about any of the content because people should just watch it. But I've always thought she was pretty great, and watching her really get to like take the reins in a series like this is pretty rad. So on the basis of that first episode, I'll say give it a shot. See if it's your particular cup of tea or whatever it is you prefer to drink. And all that being said, as far as you all know, I've been Matt this entire time, and I'm sorry.
This is Charlie Down in Austin. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Starting tomorrow, which is irrelevant in the time space of the whole bit.
Whoa, man.
That's when Fantastic Fest will be starting. And so there'll be lots of, we'll see. My eyes will be bigger than stomach because, you know, I'm getting older and it's sort of difficult to do Midnighters multiple nights in a row. But, you know, we'll see how we do. But I'll be looking forward to kind of letting folks know what you know, what all they've got going on there. There's some really cool horror stuff that I'm looking forward to seeing, and then a bunch of other stuff I'm looking forward to seeing as well. Tomorrow, you'll get the premiere of the Never Let Go, the Halle Berry one, is the, one of the opening night.
Oh, yeah.
So, Connor and I are seeing Plastic Guns, which, if you saw the filmmaker's last one, Bloody Oranges, a few years ago, like, it is a sense of humor that's not for everyone. But I'm looking forward to his new one, and then Never Let Go, with Halle Berry's new one. And then we're seeing the new Terrifier movie at midnight. So,
wow.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting first day. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to letting everybody know, you know, how it all goes. And then before you know it, we'll be talking to you again. So you know that's how that'll go. All right, we'll be good. See you later. Bye.
Well, eventually, we'll just be hand cranking a Victrola again.
Yeah. Time to just walk into the forest and cut our records out of logs like our fathers. You guys' dads cut records out of logs, right?
Well, sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You count the rings and then you play it. And it's, you know.
That just reminded me of one of my favorite Vilten jokes. That Susie, when we stopped being partners and she played against me, she's like, much like the, you know, Mighty Sequoia. If you were to look at Matt and count the rings, you could tell how many times he's been divorced. It's like, that's really fucking funny.